99% of people have really great intentions. And they've also got lots of ideas. And they think, how harmful is it to just do the thing that I've thought of to run after what I assume is Jesus and his plans for his church?
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the Intentional Churches podcast. And it's an exciting day. I've got my friend and brother in this whole endeavor of Intentional Churches, Bart Rendell, with us as a guest. And he's going to join Aaron and I for a conversation. We're kicking off kind of a series over the next few episodes that's going to really drill into this idea of alignment and misalignment and how it plays into church leadership. And I know no better person to begin talking about this than Bart. So, Bart, welcome. If you would give our listeners a little bit of your background, your story, your church leadership background.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a pastor's kid from Kentucky. Went to college in Cincinnati to be a pastor. Thought I was going to be an engineer and architect. Didn't turn out that way. Ended up at a church early stage plant in Lexington, where I'm from, Kentucky, and 7 years there. And then between 11 and 12 years on the team at Central Christian Church in Las Vegas, which is where I live still today. And then Doug and I started the journey with IC. We co-founded that thing in the last, what's it been, Doug? Almost 11 years we've been up to this, and I feel like we're just getting started, right?
Yes, very much so. And Aaron, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks, good. Doug. Good to be with you. Bart, good to be with you too.
Yeah, so our listeners get to know a little bit about you. You're in a grad program. Give us one highlight from last week's class.
Yeah, I was in Portland last week working on a master's of spiritual formation and was there with my cohort. It's just good to be with other people who get it, who get ministry, who are in the grind with you. So it's definitely, I'm sure many of our listeners relate to just finding other people who you can just look in the eyes and say, I get it.
yeah, that's great. So let's get into this, Bart. I want you to first talk about maybe a little bit, set up this idea of alignment versus misalignment and how you perceive that playing into church leadership.
Yeah, so I like to kind of bucket things, right? And it makes things make sense. You know this about me. So I think of some buckets in church. Like the first thing I think about are the sort of the segments of people that are in the church, right? So I'm going to start getting into alignment. I want the elder sort of group. And if you have deacons, the deacons to be aligned with the leadership team, staff team. There's almost always a lay leadership and a volunteer team. You've got core church members that are involved in your church as well, committed, give time, money, and other parts of their life to the ministry. And then you've got your congregation. So when we think about alignment, in the perfect world, we'd have all of those groups and constituencies which are required to run a church, lead a church, be a church, aligned and on the same page. And so then I think about where. Well, I'll just give you the typical rundown. I want them to be aligned with the mission of the church, the vision of where we're headed, the strategy for accomplishing that mission. I want them to be aligned to what the priorities are in the church in this given season. And then on down deeper, I want them to be aligned about how we make decisions and evaluate progress. And in a perfect world, those segments would be aligned on those things and we'd be rocking and rolling, right? We'd be accomplishing the Great Commission, making more and better disciples. But man, church is typically not that kind of an aligned picture I just described.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask Aaron this in a minute too. So, but you've worked with a ton of churches. Do you have an estimate of how many church leadership teams over the last decade plus you've been in front of? Like, just ballpark it for me.
500? I don't know. Hundreds and okay. Hundreds of teams.
I just want to establish how many. Do you see a problem in the American church with alignment? And if so, like, put it on a scale of 1 to 10. And if we were thinking about accomplishment of the Great Commission, One being like alignment is not an issue, and 10 being it's probably the greatest issue a church leader faces. Where would you place it and why? And Aaron, I have the same question for you, like in local church leadership. Bart, you first across those teams.
Was 10 the not was bad?
Yeah, 10 was like, oh man, alignment is the greatest challenge ever.
It's 8, 9, 10. Because, the church is the chosen avenue of Jesus to impact the world. And I was reading a book on alignment, kind of studying about this stuff right now. And the guy that wrote the book said he'd studied 300 different organizations. And then one of those was a church that he went to, which is a mega church in the country. And the most misaligned organization of all of them was the church that he went to. And I think the irony of that, yeah, I know. And
what, I think what's that, the book? Tell the listeners what the book is. You remember the title of it?
Oh yeah, I've got it here. It's called "Drive One Direction" by Dave Ramos. But now you're going to be able to find out the name of the church.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, church.
That's all right. He's clearly a believer. I thought that was cool. And the point of the matter there would be, it should be the most aligned organization because of the biblical frameworks and mandates we all live by and believe in, but it is the most siloed, isolated at times in its operation and misaligned. And you're probably going to ask me why, and I'd love for us all to discuss that a little bit.
Aaron, you've worked in at least a couple of local churches, I know. And so I'd ask you the same question, scale 1 to 10, 1 being alignment, not that big an issue, and trying to lead a church, lead a staff, lead a board, all these segments Bart talked about, 10 being like it is the greatest impediment. Like in your experience, where would you place it? And the same question, why?
11.
Oh, wow.
Alignment. I have very different experiences in the different churches I've been a part of with this conversation. We can dig into that more later, but I think one of the reasons why is when you start talking church and you start talking about people's faith, even your staff teams, your elder teams, your volunteers, everybody, for the most part, 99% of people have really great intentions, and they've also got lots of ideas, and they think, how harmful is it to just do the thing that I've thought of? To run after what I assume is Jesus and his plans for his church. And so one of the things I've had to learn as we dig into where does misalignment really come from is I have to really remind myself almost daily in my role, like these people are not trying most of the time to be squirrely, you know, and to be misaligned. But I think the best intentions, it comes from a place of like people love the church. And so they want to do right by the church. And for them, that means I'm just going to do what I think is best, you know?
Yeah. I agree. And so like, give me some like examples of some of the challenges, Aaron, you've faced in alignment. Like talk us through, like where are places that you've been surprised, even good-hearted people who love Jesus and have good intention being misaligned? Like where are some of those challenges proven to maybe surprise you the most?
Yeah, I think we're really going to get into this in an episode in the future, but I would say one of these issues is around people's, I think it starts with our personal alignment to the Great Commission.
Oh, yeah.
And if we are not personally aligned and personally living the Great Commission, then trying to pull together a bunch of people who are not personally aligned around the conviction of the church and personally acting on that, that's like your first hurdle. You know?
Yeah.
I think another place that we experience maybe some misalignment is staff to elders, elders to staff. I know that's a major point for many of our listeners of where things can go sideways really quickly in our churches because the elders have an idea of a way something should go. Staff has an idea of the way something should go. And those two bodies have to work together. And I think that's one of the ways that misalignment can start there and then really trickle into a lot of the other groups of people that you talked about, Bart.
Yeah, I was just with yesterday, I was in Chicago with an executive team of a church, and this was one of the conversations, believe it or not, where we were getting into like how each constituent, each of those segments Bart was talking about, all kind of have their own little different view of what church should be. And it almost always is tied to their personal preference or what they need. I think, Aaron, to your point, it's not a nefarious kind of thing, but it is a self-centered viewpoint about what church should be. So, Bart, I want to give you a chance to answer, and then I want to ask you some questions about just how we should be framing this up and working on it. But what are some examples you've seen of this playing out in church and how it's held back?
Well, I think, by the way, I'm so glad Aaron brought up the personal side, because if I were to keep going down through the layers of what must be aligned, it's got to get all the way to the individuals and the heart of the individuals that are involved, right? So I'm so glad you brought that up. I think, Doug, you and I say often that the greatest tool God gives the church for, I could insert the word alignment, would be a focus on the one, right? So evidence of misalignment often comes from what is going to be kind of the focus point of our ministry. And again, the aha for our teams we work with is as we kind of teach them our frameworks, which are really just alignment guides. That's all they are just ways to align the team. They realize at the heart of it, it must start with the focus on the one. So some of the most evangelistically minded churches surprise me at how much they are inwardly still focused, and they're listening to those voices of the, as we say in our book, you know, the Christian consuming 99. I like to tell the stories. Let me tell a good story of alignment from my home church that is a vision of what it could be when your heart's right. So we went through this, it was kind of a building campaign where we built a balcony inside of our existing worship center, right? And that meant we had to basically close off half the worship center. We didn't stop church. We added 3 or 4 services and asked all the committed folks to go to other services. So Catherine and I decided we were going to go to an early afternoon service on a regular basis while we renovated. And we had the privilege of standing next to, while we were worshiping, these two ladies who were older, probably the age of my grandparents even. And I look over one day as we're worshiping at 110 dB, you know, because now we're closer to the speakers. I look over and they both got their hands in the air. They're wearing I Love My Church shirts. They've got their volunteer lanyard where they just served. And I look closer and they've got earplugs in their ears that they've brought with them to church to basically protect their ears. But they were worshiping right along with everybody else. And I think it's just a great example that when your heart's right, like theirs is, and they see their life and they're stewarding their life to the ends of reaching other people, probably even their grandkids, then bringing your own earplugs becomes an option. So it's just a good picture of alignment.
Yeah. It's such a good story. So many of our listeners have experienced what you're talking about from the negative side, misalignment around, like not understanding why we're at 110 dB, which I believe is like probably damaging to your ears to be at that level. But because so many, I always joke about, we had one guy in our church who had the decibel meter app on his phone, and he was every week coming to tell us what he thought the dB level was. But it was a total misalignment. Like he wasn't tracking. So that's so good, Bart. Hey, we're just to give a flyover, Aaron and I both references, but these next few episodes, today we're kind of dealing with thinking about alignment and misalignment across church leadership as a whole, more the organization. And we're going to dive into the next couple of episodes with your staff and core leadership on one episode. And then what Aaron said, which I think is where it all really truly begins, is we're going to dig into this personal alignment piece. And Bart, in our past episodes, we've been talking about this idea of disciple making and multiplication and how relational evangelism is actually the greatest tool we have in the toolkit to grow deeply committed disciples are aligned and not consumeristic. And so I wanted you to talk about, because from our work, we have this concept or model called the Acts 1:8 model.
Yeah.
And I want to talk, I want to use that frame of what we would teach as a really, I want you to teach it out through those concentric circles about what would be a really healthy one, aligning our church, you know, from that individual level out. And then I want us to talk through a little bit, like when we get misaligned, this framework would help us be able to diagnose a little bit. So first, can you talk through our audience, the Acts 1-8 model verbally,
yeah,
from the inside out, the concentric circles of it?
Yeah. So I think most leaders on the that are listening would understand, you know, you would know what Acts 1-8, it's a vision really of the future impact of the followers of Jesus in the church, in that they would have impact in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And a lot of people have, and us included, I think when we began, put the organization or the institution of the church kind of at the center of that picture, and almost as if our church will have impact in those regions and even the uttermost. And so we've used it as kind of a, almost like a missiology or the defining of kind of like why we support disciple making in the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's all really, that's okay to do that. But the more we taught it and we thought about it, I think you and I think you should even speak to this, Doug. We came to, Aaron, you too. We came to conviction that at the middle of that picture actually is you and me. And it's a person, a heart, a believer that is on fire for Jesus, where the Great Commission is a personal mission. And a bunch of those people do make up a local body. And a bunch of those people can have impact in Jerusalem, can eventually have impact in the uttermost. But if you want to go a step further, at the center of that is me. And we use out of Luke 15, as folks probably know, the language around the one and the 99, it's me and it's my ones and it's their ones. And then it's my church family on a mission that same way, impacting my community, who will send missionaries. And in its purest form, one day, I hope we can see this picture that God was painting for us, where my ones influenced a one who was sent to the uttermost. And I think that's the healthiest way to see that connection. I do believe you can put our missionaries that we're supporting in general in that layer of a church's impact. But if you don't keep the paradigm we just described healthy the way we described it, the middle of that hole, the source of that whole ripple of impact will begin to go away. And you will, Doug says, lose permission and eventually lose resources to extend and have that impact. I was in one church, I remember, just a quick example, that was celebrating the work they were doing in the uttermost. They were known for it. I mean, it was amazing.
Very common.
But I was there, yeah, and the church was dwindling, and they literally wanted to talk more about that mission work than they did what it was going to take to basically reach people right there. It happened to be a town in California. And they were eventually going to lose it all. They were going to lose the permission and the resources to make that uttermost impact. So is that kind of, I lay it out there for you?
It's spot on. You know, we kind of have come to this rule of thumb, you know, with what you're talking about. We walk into a church, and if their goal is to give away 25%, 50% to global missions, it is a red flag. Because what that sounds so right.
It's not about us.
It's not about us. We're going to give away money. You know, it feels so right. But the unintended consequence of what we're saying is we are no longer going to fund the people of God here to reach their ones and make generational disciples in this beachhead of ministry.
I tell every church, I think you got to know this, that every church, I think that it's just so emotional in the stage of our church and its current state of health sometimes can kind of get us down. And I, in some circles, and I'm like, every church has made Judea, Samaria, and uttermost ripples that are going to ripple into eternity. And
yes,
you just have to know that. And it doesn't, it doesn't take, mega churches aren't the only one making ripples in the uttermost. When you changed a life and they were sent by the military to serve in Europe, and they had that same vision of reaching someone, you may never, ever really know that story. But I think that vision that God gave us was one to encourage us. And we just have to keep that in mind. Just wanted to say that.
It's a good reminder, Bart. And the dynamic hidden work of God that we oftentimes can't see from our human perspective. I think that's just such a great highlight. Aaron, I want to drill into, because we made this case on previous episodes. I've talked about it probably ad nauseum for the last few years. Is this the real misalignment that is happening? Yes, oftentimes churches are kind of misaligned to the wrong thing, like we just talked about with global missions. Like, global missions needs to be a byproduct of reaching and growing people. But this idea of the institutional mindset, and in the concentric circles that Bart just described, where the church institution slides to the middle instead of the individual followers of Jesus being in the middle, reaching and growing people. So Aaron, with that setup, I wanted you to talk about ways even you subconsciously slide to institutional thinking, and then maybe give some stories about where it surprised you how institutional thinking's popped up in the staff or in leadership there. So kind of two-ended question for you personally, where have you been surprised about it? And then how about where have you had to deal with it in leading a church?
Yeah, for sure. I think what I hear you guys saying, first of all, is like this Acts 1:8 model should be the very thing that aligns us, that brings alignment. And there's other systems and structures that we can put in place to make sure that's happening, but we should be aligned to that Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And kind of in those circles is the way that we are seeking alignment in our churches. And so I think where we start to get wacky on that is, like you just said, Doug, where the institution finds its way into the middle of those circles. And it's so funny because it sneaks up in the weirdest places. For example, when someone shows up at your church and the question sounds like this, what do you have for? Fill in the blank.
Oh, yes. You
know? Fill in the blank for this age group, for these types of people, for people who do these types of things. And I will tell you, for me personally, one of the things I'm having to learn to get over in ministry is having to have an answer for everybody, both when they ask that question or when they need help with something. I think for me, I'll only speak for myself, my gut reaction is to say in one way or another, yes, the institution can help you with that. Oh, my friend is struggling. My friend is having a really hard time. What do you have for that person? Oh, we have X, Y, and Z, rather than alignment to Acts 1:8 would be me saying, how can you show up in the life of your friend and be exactly what your friend needs and surround her with other people in your guys's like relational networks? What does that look like? Where instead it's so much easier to just let the institution be the answer. Oh, we have these resources. We have these things available. There's a time and place for that, but that can't be our go-to answer.
You are hitting it like right down the middle, because all of us as church leaders want to help people. So we get asked a question like this, we want to be able to give an answer. And I remember a time in my church leadership where like we were actually being kind of judged on it in performance. Like, did we provide that thing those people needed? Or I know somebody who called into the church office and asked to get connected to XYZ, and then in an elders meeting later it shows up because that person didn't get the answer they wanted. Yeah, like anybody identify with this kind of like mindset that Aaron's talking about, that we all struggle with, that kind of institutional point of it. Aaron, just one last question. Like, anything recently, any win around alignment, or any like, I cannot believe we still have misalignment around this.
I could tell misalignment stories for days, because that's like, you know, a dog chasing its own tail. You're kind of always chasing misalignment a little bit, I think, in church leadership.
Yes.
I will say one recent win for us is we've been doing a series about mental health, which felt kind of big and scary to do, just in terms of people's expectations showing up at a church. And people carry a lot of expectations around this conversation because it's not the church's conversation. It's a cultural conversation that the church really needs to be engaging. And I think this was a moment where I was like, we are going to have to, experience some really great alignment around, we are not the answer for people. And that has had to be true from lead pastor down to our volunteers who greet people on Sunday morning. Hurting people are going to show up here. People looking for answers. People looking for the church to be the answer. And there are times and situations where when people are struggling with whatever mental health concerns, they're going to show up here and they're going to want us to be the answer. And we might need to provide something for people who are really struggling. But where I've been proud of some of like the alignment work is seeing some of our staff and key volunteers like sort of walking with this newfound permission. Like, I actually have everything I need, the Spirit alive in me, to pray for you, to give you some simple tools you can use to connect with people in your life, to get into some community and the people in your life that the church doesn't have to provide. And for a lot of people who find themselves feeling lonely or struggling or whatever, for this particular moment we're talking about in our church, that's all they need. And so I think I could also go, we don't have enough time for me to tell some of the misalignment stories, but I would say that's just been a cool way that we've seen that kind of starting to trickle out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our time's almost done, but Bart, I want to flip over to, because Intentional Church has always been about like take action, like what's the right next step. And so can you give the listeners, like, if you are really feeling this in your church, in your leadership, that we're dealing with an alignment, misalignment issue, can you give us a practical tip or two of like where to start? Like, how do you get as a church leader moving toward alignment away from misalignment?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of going to give a shameless plug for Church OS, since we got a lot of Church OS, but I think it's practical. I think we got a lot of listeners that use our tools. And it occurred to me during all of this that our tools are really just alignment aids. That's all they are. And something as simple as like the Great Commission Engine, which is a simple biblical, a description of a basic biblical model or strategy out of Acts 2 to execute, that we've got YouTube videos on it. We've got asking the question, what is the mission and strategy of the church? And just beginning to study, there's two chapters in the book on that. It's very simple to engage that as a informative concept to begin to align a team. Just that one tool alone can create a lot of alignment. And then we do a little bit, another YouTube, I believe, video on evaluation standards. You want to really start getting into alignment, start measuring and eliminating poor standards for evaluation. And the only true North standard, which is making more and better disciples, and what would it look like to double the impact of our church in the next 5 years? If you use that kind of thinking, you're immediately going to start to, and everybody's got to be okay with this, be in the tension of the various thoughts on what that means. And so one person is going to think we're in better shape than we are, and that's okay. It's in the tension and the defining clearly of what the thing we're speaking about is, which is what the Great Commission Engine helps you do. You're going to begin to come together. That tension will actually pull you together to a decision from that evaluation. Then the simple thing I think about too is just the gut check in your own life. I know I worked at Central in one of the most aligned organizations, and they just keep, to me, tightening it up. And it is a constant thing you have to tend, Aaron. But I remember when my greatest misalignment story is when I got misaligned with the mission, vision, and values. And it was a healthy environment where I could say, hey, I'm feeling, maybe just use a word like burnout, you know? And they would let me search what that all meant. But the fact that they were still going to stay aligned to the mission clearly, the Great Commission, and letting the one be the guiding thought in that church's existence and life, and the fact that they were going to be there to reach more people, caused me to have a gut check in my own spirit, eventually realizing that's exactly what I want too. And I went through a season where it wasn't, or I thought it wasn't. So it's just that personal gut check and asking the simple question, who is your one? Who is my one? And, or my ones in my life? And do I really care about living my life in a way that has them at the top of my mind and my my actions? That's the place I would start, is in your own heart, right? And that soul searching, and then do it as a team. So those are a couple ideas. But again, I'm kind of using our tools to get there.
Well, I'm going to recap for our listeners. So some action steps. Number one, personal inventory, and encourage your team to do it, to, you know, assess, do I have ones in my life? Am I planting and watering in, relationally in the lives of ones in my own life? And then the Intentional Churches resourcing. If you go to the YouTube channel, there's a video teaching on the Great Commission Engine and a video teaching on the poor evaluation standards. Those are tools you can take with your team and have them watch it. And then have a conversation around it as a team and begin to layer that in. I just was talking with a church that's starting to use poor evaluation standards out in their volunteer leadership.
Oh, that's great.
Fascinating, as they're getting more and more alignment out there. So, and I know this topic, I'm just so looking forward to the next couple of episodes, because this is really leading us into this year's Intentional Churches Conference, where alignment is going to be a very large piece of what we're trying to get to. And talk about and have great collaboration around there. Well, we're going to need to be done for today, but Bart, I just heard, thank you so much for being here.
You bet, and man.
Honor. Go ahead.
No, this is my privilege. I love that you guys are doing this, and honored to be a part of it, and look forward to the future of it.
Yeah. And kind of my recap, I heard a couple of themes in here. Like, we can all be aligned in church leadership to the wrong thing, like putting global missions first before we put our own personal, but by and large, misalignment where everybody's idea of church is a little different and what should be a priority. That is the great battle of church leadership, probably for your entire ministry career. And so what a good conversation. I can't wait to jump further in. Thank you all for listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the next episode, and have a great week.